I want you to take your Bibles tonight, look to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 11. Want to begin a new series this evening, and it's, you say, Hebrews chapter 11. It's 40 verses. Was that a huh or a cough?
No, it's not
a cough. Okay. It's like 40 verses. Huh? That's all I heard. Here, you're fine. Are you okay? Okay, good. Just check in on you there. Very good. Don't want anybody hunting. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Hebrews chapter 11, 40 verses. It's going to take us roughly 25 or 26 weeks to get through this if we're going to do it properly. And of course, Hebrews chapter 11, you may know this. It's been referred to many, many times as the Hall of Faith. And when we read through and we see the number of Old Testament believers that had a wonderful, tremendous amount of faith in their lives. We know the Bible says it is by grace through faith that we are saved, that we know God is our Savior. And I want to take some of these passages from Hebrews chapter 11 and these individuals that God chose to highlight their faith to us. And over the next several weeks, look at each individual event in discovering the faith that they had. The Bible tells us that He has given us these things for our example, that we might learn from and follow after. And so in order to do that, though, we must begin by laying the foundation. Always important to lay a good foundation. And, of course, the Bible is that foundation. And in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Again, I want you to go back to verse number 1 as we see faith defined to us in Scripture. As faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's pray together tonight, shall we? Our Father, we come to you, and we are so eternally grateful for the fact that you allow us to be able to come to you by faith. God, it is something that you have blessed each and every one of us with. God, we know that our faith is something that fluctuates. It is something that we can have a lot of or we can have a little of. And I pray that collectively, together as a church, that we would have a tremendous amount of faith. But Father, in order to do that as a collective group, we must as individuals have a tremendous amount of faith. And so I pray as we go through this wonderful chapter in which you've preserved for us, over the coming weeks, God, that you would just increase our faith. May it be abundantly clear that our faith is placed in you and you alone. Help us in this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When we come to Hebrews chapter 11, there's an interesting word there right at the very beginning as he says, now. Now, faith. Now, in order to start at Hebrews chapter 11 with this idea of faith and this word faith, we've got to go back a few verses into chapter 10 in order to get the context of what is taking place here. Now, I want you to go back to verse number 31, and I want you to see what God is saying here. He says in verse 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Who can say amen on that? "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly, whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly, whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Oh, here we go. "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So when you come from chapter 10 into chapter 11, we're seeing that the writer of the book of Hebrews is giving us, really, by the time when we get to chapter 11, we see the introduction here. And I want to go through some of this here real quickly. He says back in verse number 31, of course, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He says, "But to call to remembrance the former days in which ye have illuminated, ye were endured a great fight of afflictions." You know, there are many, many circumstances in life, aren't there? I mean, all over the place. Every day, you never know. I say this often, I hope I do anyway, but and you all know this, but one phone call can change your life. It'll change your whole day. It can change your whole plans. And this is something that we must learn by faith. He says there are great fight and afflictions taking place, after which you were illuminated. That is, the presence of God has entered your life after you were saved, if we could say it that way. After you were illuminated, after you have been shown, after you have seen what God has for you, circumstances change. But isn't it amazing? God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And so he says, when I call to remembrance that, he says, and he walks kind of through what was taking place. He says, while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, he said, partly whilst thou became companions of them that were so used, he said, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds. He said, I've had afflictions, and you had compassion on me. Look at verse number 35. He said, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have, in verse 36, need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. What's the promise? He's coming again. Notice it says here in verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. Amen. It's talking about Jesus, by the way, if you didn't pick up on that. Jesus is coming again. Amen. He's coming. And he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Now I want you to check this out here. This may be a confusing statement for some of you, but notice he says, but if any man draw back. Circumstances can cause people to draw back sometimes. They can. Circumstances change, and I don't like the change, and so therefore I draw back. I take a step back and say, maybe God doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe God has changed his mind, or maybe God has changed his plan. But I want you to notice he says, my soul
shall have no pleasure in him. Now, the one who is speaking here, of course, we know that God, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, choosing for men to write his word. But in this, this is the writer of Hebrews telling this church of Hebrews that my soul shall have no pleasure in you. As your pastor, I can tell you there are times that people will do things or they will say things that are not pleasing to me. Right, Brother Don? You know what I'm talking about. People say things that aren't pleasing to you. And sometimes I say things that aren't pleasing to you. And sometimes basically what we could come down to is we're not always pleased with one another. Everybody with me? Amen. Okay, good. That's what he's saying here. He says, but we are not of them. Pick up on this. Very, very important phrase. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Perdition is that of an entire loss. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, how can we believe unto the saving of the soul? Now, faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, faith, pick up here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have a substance. We have an object of our faith. An object. Our faith is placed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is placed in his death, burial, and resurrection. Our faith is placed upon the Word of God. Our faith is placed upon those things, but yet, I've never seen Jesus. Anyone here ever seen Jesus? I hope not. There are some that have claimed to see Jesus. I never have. You are, by not raising your hand, saying you never have. So we have here the perfect illustration of that which is faith. Now, while we see faith being defined as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, when you jump over to Hebrews chapter 12, after God gives this wonderful passage on these Old Testament saints and their faith, we see faith being described or demonstrated. We see it defined in Hebrews chapter 11, but we see it being demonstrated in Hebrews chapter 12 as he says, wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That is faith being demonstrated. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, we can demonstrate our faith by looking unto Jesus. What is your faith being placed in? So most of, well, all of you exercised a certain amount of faith when you came to church tonight. Didn't you? How many of you drove to church or rode with someone in a vehicle to church tonight? How many realized that you used faith to do that? You did. When you got in, you opened up the door, you walked to the door, and you had faith that that door was going to open. When that door opened, you got in, you sat down, someone put the key in the ignition, and when you turned that ignition, you were using faith by hoping the car was going to start. The car started and you put it in reverse or forward or whatever, either R or D. You put it in one of those and you either went forwards or backwards to get here, and you had faith. You had faith not only in the ignition that it would start up, but you had faith in the transmission. You had faith in the tires to get you here. And you made it. Amen. Can't we do the same thing in Jesus? We need to have faith. We need to exercise this faith. The object of our faith must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is your faith when things go wrong? You see, ultimately, my faith is not placed in a vehicle. You know why? Because I've gotten in vehicles before and put the key in and turned the key and nothing's happened. You know what that does? It changes everything, doesn't it? Maybe late for work, maybe late for an appointment, late for something, but the car won't start. Come out and there's a flat tire. A few weeks ago, we needed a bus, and I borrowed a bus from a local church, a friend of mine. I said, "Hey, can I borrow your bus?" He said, "Sure." I should have known. When I went to ask for the key, Brother Don, and they said, "The screwdriver's in it." Oh, yeah. You want to ride in that bus, don't you, Elijah? I said, "Oh." I said, "The screwdriver's in it," and I thought they were joking. And so I got in the bus, and there's a screwdriver sitting up in the front of the window, and I took the screwdriver, shoved it in the ignition, and turned it, and it started up, and took off down the road, and here we are. We're going. I'm driving a bus. Till I got to Snow Road, and where was I, Shane? Snow and Tanner Williams. Pulled up to the stoplight. It was red. I was obeying the law. I was the first vehicle there. The light turned green. I pushed on the gas, and the engine went, and I sat there. And I moved the gear changer and pushed on the gas, and I sat there. Called my pastor friend and I said, "Hey," he said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well," I said, "I'm not moving." He said, "Well, where are you?" So I'm wherever I was. Can't remember. Tanner Williams, Snow Road. He said, "Well, did you try putting it in gear?" Why didn't I think of that? I said, "Yeah." I said, he's all right, we're on our way. And they came and I'm standing there. It's hot. I'm directing traffic around the bus in my Crossroads Baptist Church shirt. Can't go that way. Got to go one of the ways. Can't go straight. I had faith that I was going to make it back. Rachel, she dropped me off and she said, "You going back to church?" I said, "Where else would I go in a bus? Snow Road and Tanner Williams, that's where I'd go. Nowhere else." It blew a brake line, brake booster or something, and the brakes locked up, and you can't go when the brakes are locked up. The engine started, but you know what? I had faith, and my faith was weak. But I placed it in that, and we do those things, and we place our faith in objects that are temporal. Cars will fail us all day long. Airplanes, I know some of you are afraid to fly. But people fly all day long. But you know what? Occasionally planes go down. Planes fail. Trains fail. They derail sometimes. But I promise you this, when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even in a plane crash, you can have faith in Him that He will not fail. Whatever comes your way, when we place our faith, when Jesus is the object of our faith. Back in verse number 37 of Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible says, "For yet a little while He shall... and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." In verse 38 he said, "Now the just shall live by faith." You realize that's an Old Testament phrase? Paul used it one time, that the just shall live by his faith. Hebrews is using it here, but can I tell you it's an Old Testament phrase? You say, "Well, I thought the Old Testament was all about the law." Well, go back to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter number 2. I want you to see this phrase in the Old Testament.
and break this down just a little bit here, as we see not just the object of faith, but the opposite of faith. If the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ and God in heaven, is there an opposite of faith? If the just shall live by his faith, and the just shall live by faith, there is an opposite. In Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 4, the scripture reads, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." There are three primary words or phrases that I want you to see in this particular passage as we see the opposite of faith. And that's these three: lifted up, upright, and just. Three key words here as we look at this particular passage, where right before that he says, "But the just shall live by his faith." Behold his soul. His soul. That is your soul. That's my soul. We have a soul, and we all have an individual soul liberty. God has created us with the ability to choose. You realize while God has given us this wonderful gift of faith, he has given us the awesome ability to choose where we place our faith in. He has. It's a wonderful thing, this individual soul liberty that God has given to us. But he said, "Behold his soul, which is lifted up." Another way that we might say that, or to describe being lifted up, while we may look at that and we say, well, we may, you know, we lift it up. Well, lifted up can also signify and be determined by that which is swelled with. Swelled with. Swelled with what? Well, when you look at the rest of the phrase there, notice his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright. What does upright mean? Upright means honest. True and honest. So what is he saying here? His soul, which is lifted up, is not upright. Or his soul, which is swelled, is not upright or is not honest. Swelled with deceit, or deceitful. Or how about another way of saying that could be swelled with pride? You know, it's a prideful thing to say that I can do this on my own. When we start putting the good works and adding good works to our salvation, to what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, can I just remind you that's very prideful? There's nothing that you and I can do to earn our way to heaven. And to say otherwise would be extremely, extremely prideful. And he's saying here, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just." But, notice that, "but the just." What is just? Who is the just man? That which is just is someone who has been conformed to the truth. Conformed to the truth. So the opposite of faith, it's not unbelief, what we would say, "Well, I believe in this and I don't believe in this." No, 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 no. The opposite of faith is pride. It's our pride in thinking that we can just do and accomplish whatever we want to, not being conformed to the truth. You see, the just shall live by his faith. We place our faith in this book that is true. And that is what I'm going to live my life in. So while we have the object of our faith being being Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us. So we can also place our faith upon the Word of God. And the opposite of that faith is our own pride. The just shall live by his faith. What is the outcome of faith?
You see, if we have faith, and if we know, and we've already, we discovered that through Jesus and his disciples, many times, Jesus would tell his disciples, or say to them, or say to individuals, "O ye of little faith." There were others that would come to him, and he would say, "Great is thy faith." So we know just from the very words of Jesus that we can have a little faith or we can have great faith. We can have a lot of faith and we can have in-between faith. And I think you know what I mean by that. But so what is the outcome of our faith? When we have little faith or when we have great faith, the difference is whether or not we're going to live victoriously. Do you know that Jesus has given us the ability to live the victorious Christian life? I like victory. I don't like to lose. I don't like to be overcome. I like to win. I like to have the victory. But I'll tell you, I still fail. Remember what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs? The just man falleth. How many times? Anybody remember? 7 times? And he gets up 5, right? He does. He gets up 5 times. And then again 6, and then again 7. You see, the just man is not to say the victorious Christian life. The victory is not that we've failed or that. The victory is that we get back up. Because we've placed our faith, and the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have this. I think of when God called the children of Israel to the promised land. He called them out. He said, "You're going to go." And didn't God promise a victory? He most certainly did. And he told them, he said, "You walk this way, you do this, and you follow this path that I'm going to give you, and victory is sure. It's guaranteed." One of the first battles they came to was Jericho. Oh, the great city of Jericho. Walls that were impenetrable. Walls that couldn't be scaled. You couldn't bust through them. And God said, "Walk around it." Huh? Walk around it. Yeah, walk around it. As a matter of fact, walk around it for 7 days. See, have you ever noticed that God's ways are not our ways and our ways are not God's ways? As a matter of fact, God told us that. And hopefully you've noticed that. But for some reason, we think we have to have everything all figured out. Can I just help you here for a moment? Having everything all figured out isn't faith. It's pride. Because I got it all figured out. So here's the children of Israel. "Okay, God." And they start walking around the city of Jericho. Now, I don't know what the reaction was from the city of Jericho. We know that on top of the wall, they could ride 2 chariots side by side all the way around the wall. That tells us how thick the thing was. That soldiers that watched, we know that they had windows in the wall because we know Rahab let her, her thing down, her scarlet robe down to let them know it's safe. So there was something in there. And so here we are. 7 days. All right, now what? Now I want you to walk around 7 times. 7 times? 7 times. Okay. Now, here's the most wonderful thing about faith is the outcome. Now, I know we used the car analogy earlier, and you got in your car and you drove here. Was anyone surprised when you arrived here? Of course not. I mean, you knew where you were going. You had planned it out. I know where I'm going. I'm going to church. Now, you may be a little surprised of what we're doing here, but you knew where you were going. I don't know if the children of Israel knew completely of what was going to happen when they blew the trumpet. But those walls came down. But I can guarantee you who didn't know what was going to happen, and that was the city of Jericho. They found something that day. That when you follow God by faith, there is victory. They didn't get the victory in Jericho because they weren't following God. But the children of Israel were. And when you see, when you watch the promised land, and the promised land is not, I've never thought of it being a picture of heaven, but it is a wonderful picture of the victorious Christian life. Because when you watch through and they go through, they had to battle in Jericho. They battled in Ai. They battled and they battled and they battled. And if you'll remember, one of my favorite events in the book of Joshua was Caleb, 80 years old. He said, I've been waiting on this for 40 years. He said, I'm just as strong today. Give me that mountain. But you know, when he got the mountain, it wasn't just given to him. He had to fight for it. But you know what? He exercised faith. Why? Because God told me I'd have it 40 years before. That's a long time to wait for something, isn't it? I'm not even 40 years old. I can't imagine waiting for something for 40 years. Hey, the check's in the mail. 40 years later. Think there was interest on that? Not a chance? I don't know. I think it was a pretty good mountain. I think Caleb was pleased to wait with patience. With patience, he had faith. You see, the outcome of our faith is a victorious Christian life. Now, if the outcome of faith is a victorious Christian life, what do you think the outcome of pride is? Doesn't Proverbs tell us? Pride goeth before a fall. A fall and destruction. Why would we not, if that is the opposite of faith, and faith brings a victorious Christian life and pride brings defeat and destruction? One of the battles that we face every day is whether we're going to follow our own pride or whether we're going to follow God. There's an outcome to both. What are you going to do? Who are you going to follow? Follow the world? Follow your own pride? John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. Don't be entangled in the affairs of this world. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What are you looking to? You're looking to yourself? See, there's an object here. It's Jesus. And in this, as we get into this chapter, in verse number 3, he says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We're going to start back at creation and understand through faith how God created. Through our faith, how God created by His Word. And then as we look to Cain and Abel, oh, what a couple of young men. As the Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Check this out. Both of them offered a sacrifice. I think we forget that sometimes. But both of them offered a sacrifice. Both of them brought something to God and said, God, we want you to have this. But only one of them did it by faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called,
he was called out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went, by faith. God said, follow me. Follow me. We're going to look at all of these throughout this entire chapter. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are as well, but I hope that you will learn to place your faith in God. Faith is believing and trusting in God. You can trust Him. You can believe Him because His word is true. We'll have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. I start with this question. Where is your faith?